Verse 2. The fever of sensual pleasures. 10. Magandaya, formerly when I lived the household life, I enjoyed myself, provided and endowed with the five cords of sensual pleasure, with forms cognizable by the eye, with sounds cognizable by the ear, with odors cognizable by the nose, with flavors cognizable by the tongue, with tactile objects cognizable by the body that are wished for, desired, agreeable, and likable, connected with sensual desire and provocative of lust. I had three palaces, one for the rainy season, one for the winter, and one for the summer. I lived in the rain's palace for the 4 months of the rainy season, enjoying myself with musicians, non-male, and I did not go down to the lower palace. On a later occasion, having understood as they really are the origin, the passing away, the gratification, the danger, and the escape in the case of sensual pleasures, I abandoned craving for sensual pleasures. I removed the fever of sensual pleasures, and I dwell without thirst, with a mind inwardly at peace. I see other people who are not free from lust for sensual pleasures, being devoured by craving for sensual pleasures, burning with the fever of sensual pleasures, indulging in sensual pleasures, and I do not envy them, nor do I delight therein. Why is that? Because there is, Magandaya, a delight apart from sensual pleasures, apart from unwholesome states, which surpasses even divine bliss. Since I take delight in that, I do not envy what is inferior, nor do I delight therein. 11. Suppose, Magandaya, a householder or a householder's son was rich, affluent, and wealthy, and being provided and endowed with the five cords of sensual pleasure, he might enjoy himself with forms cognizable by the eye, with sounds cognizable by the ear, with odors cognizable by the nose, with flavors cognizable by the tongue, with tactile objects cognizable by the body that are wished for, desired, agreeable, and likable, connected with sensual desire and provocative of lust. Having conducted himself well in body, speech, and mind, on the breakup of the body, after death, he might be reborn in a good destination, in a heavenly world in the retinue of the Tavatimsa Devas, and there, surrounded by a group of nymphs in the Nandana Grove, he would enjoy himself provided and endowed with the five cords of divine sensual pleasure. Suppose he saw a householder or a householder's son enjoying himself, provided and endowed with the five cords of human sensual pleasure. What do you think, Magandaya? Would that young deva, surrounded by the group of nymphs in the Nandana Grove, enjoying himself, provided and endowed with the five cords of divine sensual pleasure, envy the householder or the householder's son for the five cords of human sensual pleasure? Or would he be enticed by human sensual pleasures? No, Master Gotama. Why not? Because divine sensual pleasures are more excellent and sublime than human sensual pleasures. 12. So too, Magandaya, formerly when I lived the household life, I enjoyed myself, provided and endowed with the five cords of sensual pleasure, with forms cognizable by the eye, with tactile objects cognizable by the body, that are wished for, desired, agreeable, and likable, connected with sensual desire and provocative of lust. On a later occasion, having understood as they really are the gratification, the danger, and the escape in the case of sensual pleasures, I abandoned craving for sensual pleasures. I removed the fever of sensual pleasures, and I dwell without thirst, with a mind inwardly at peace. I see other people who are not free from lust for sensual pleasures being devoured by craving for sensual pleasures, burning with the fever of sensual pleasures, indulging in sensual pleasures, and I do not envy them, nor do I delight therein. Why is that? Because there is, Magandaya, a delight apart from sensual pleasures, apart from unwholesome states, which surpasses even divine bliss. Since I take delight in that, I do not envy what is inferior, nor do I delight therein. 13. Suppose, Magandaya, there was a leper with sores and blisters on his limbs, being devoured by worms, scratching the scabs off the openings of his wounds with his nails, cauterizing his body over a burning charcoal pit. Then his friends and companions, his kinsmen and relatives, would bring a physician to treat him. The physician would make medicine for him. And by means of that medicine, the man would be cured of his leprosy and would become well and happy. Independent, master of himself, able to go where he likes. Then he might see another leper with sores and blisters on his limbs, being devoured by worms, scratching the scabs off the openings of his wounds with his nails, cauterizing his body over a burning charcoal pit. What do you think, Magandaya? Would that man envy that leper for his burning charcoal pit or his use of medicine? No, Master Gotama. Why is that? Because when there is sickness, there is need for medicine, and when there is no sickness, there is no need for medicine. 14. So too, Magandaya, formerly when I lived the household life, as in stanza 12. Since I take delight in that, I do not envy what is inferior, nor do I delight therein. 15. Suppose, Magandaya, there was a leper with sores and blisters on his limbs, being devoured by worms, scratching the scabs off the openings of his wounds with his nails, cauterizing his body over a burning charcoal pit. Then his friends and companions, his kinsmen and relatives, brought a physician to treat him. The physician would make medicine for him, and by means of that medicine the man would be cured of his leprosy and would become well and happy. Independent, master of himself, able to go where he likes. Then two strong men would seize him by both arms and drag him toward a burning charcoal pit. What do you think, Magandaya? Would that man twist his body this way and that? Yes, Master Gotama. Why is that? Because that fire is indeed painful to touch, hot and scorching. What do you think, Magandaya? Is it only now that that fire is painful to touch, hot and scorching? Or previously, too, was that fire painful to touch, hot and scorching? Master Gotama, that fire is now painful to touch, hot and scorching, and previously, too, that fire was painful to touch, hot and scorching. For when that man was a leper with sores and blisters on his limbs, being devoured by worms, scratching the scabs off the openings of his wounds with his nails, his faculties were impaired. Thus, though the fire was actually painful to touch, he acquired a mistaken perception of it as pleasant. 16. So too, Magandaya. In the past, sensual pleasures were painful to touch, hot and scorching. In the future, sensual pleasures will be painful to touch, hot and scorching. And now, at present, sensual pleasures are painful to touch, hot and scorching. But these people who are not free from lust for sensual pleasures, who are devoured by craving for sensual pleasures, who burn with the fever of sensual pleasures, have faculties that are impaired. Thus, though sensual pleasures are actually painful to touch, they acquire a mistaken perception of them as pleasant. 17. Suppose, Magandaya, there was a leper with sores and blisters on his limbs, being devoured by worms, scratching the scabs off the openings of his wounds with his nails, cauterizing his body over a burning charcoal pit. The more he scratches the scabs and cauterizes his body, the fouler, more evil-smelling, and more infected the openings of his wounds would become. Yet he would find a certain measure of satisfaction and enjoyment in scratching the openings of his wounds. So too, Magandaya, people who are not free from lust for sensual pleasures, who are devoured by craving for sensual pleasures, who burn with the fever of sensual pleasures, still indulge in sensual pleasures. The more they indulge in sensual pleasures, the more their craving for sensual pleasures increases, and the more they are burned by the fever of sensual pleasures. Yet they find a certain measure of satisfaction and enjoyment in dependence on the five cords of sensual pleasure. From Majjhima Nikaya 75, Magandaya Sutta, 1. 504 through 508. Part 5. Life is short and fleeting. Long ago, O monks, there lived a religious teacher named Araka, who was free of sensual lust. He had many hundreds of disciples, and this was the doctrine he taught to them. Short is the life of human beings, O Brahmins, limited and brief. It is full of suffering, full of tribulation. This one should wisely understand. One should do good and live a pure life, for none who is born can escape death. Just as a dewdrop on the tip of a blade of grass will quickly vanish at sunrise and will not last long, even so, Brahmins, is human life like a dewdrop. It is short, limited, and brief. It is full of suffering, full of tribulation. This one should wisely understand. One should do good and live a pure life, for none who is born can escape death. Just as, when rain falls from the sky in thick drops, a bubble appearing on the water will quickly vanish and will not last long, even so, Brahmins, is human life like a water bubble. It is short, for none who is born can escape death. Just as a line drawn on water with a stick will quickly vanish and will not last long, even so, Brahmins, is human life like a line drawn on water. It is short, for none who is born can escape death. Just as a mountain stream coming from afar, swiftly flowing, carrying along much flotsam, will not stand still for a moment, an instant, a second, but will rush on, swirl and flow forward. Even so, Brahmins, is human life like a mountain stream. It is short, for none who is born can escape death. Just as a strong man might form a lump of spittle at the tip of his tongue and spit it out with ease, even so, Brahmins, is human life like a lump of spittle. It is short, for none who is born can escape death. Just as a piece of meat thrown into an iron pan heated all day will quickly burn up and will not last long, even so, Brahmins, is human life like this piece of meat. It is short, for none who is born can escape death. Just as when a cow to be slaughtered is led to the shambles, whenever she lifts a leg, she will be closer to slaughter, closer to death. Even so, Brahmins, is human life like cattle doomed to slaughter. It is short, limited, and brief. It is full of suffering, full of tribulation. This one should wisely understand. One should do good and live a pure life, for none who is born can escape death. But at that time, O monks, the human lifespan was 60,000 years, and at 500 years, girls were ready for marriage. In those days, people had but 6 afflictions: cold, heat, hunger, thirst, excrement and urine. Though people lived so long and had so few afflictions, that teacher Araka gave to his disciples such a teaching. Short is the life of human beings. But nowadays, O monks, one could rightly say, short is the life of human beings. For today, one who lives long lives for 100 years or a little more. And when living for 100 years, it is just for 300 seasons, 100 winters, 100 summers, and 100 rains. When living for 300 seasons, it is just for 1,200 months, 400 winter months, 400 summer months, and 400 months of the rains. When living for 1,200 months, it is just for 2,400 fortnights, 800 fortnights of winter, 800 of summer, and 800 of the rains. And when living for 2,400 fortnights, it is just for 36,000 days, 12,000 days of winter, 12,000 of summer, and 12,000 of the rains. And when living for 36,000 days, He eats just 72,000 meals, 24,000 meals in winter, 24,000 in summer, and 24,000 in the rains. And this includes the taking of mother's milk and the times without food. These are the times without food, when agitated or grieved or sick, when observing a fast, or when not obtaining anything to eat. Thus, O monks, I have reckoned the life of a centenarian. The limit of his lifespan, the number of seasons, years, months, and fortnights, of days and nights, of his meals and foodless times. Whatever should be done by a compassionate teacher who, out of compassion, seeks the welfare of his disciples, that I have done for you. These are the roots of trees, O monks. These are empty huts. Meditate, monks. Do not be negligent, or else you will regret it later. This is our instruction to you. Anguttara Nikaya 770 4 136 through 139 Part 6 Four Summaries of the Dhamma 26 The Venerable Ratthapala went to King Kauravya's Maigasaira garden and sat down at the root of a tree to pass the day. 27. Then King Kauravya addressed his gamekeeper thus, Good gamekeeper, tidy up the Maigasaira garden so that we may go to the pleasure garden to see a pleasing spot. Yes, sire, he replied. Now, while he was tidying up the Maigasaira garden, the gamekeeper saw the Venerable Ratthapala seated at the root of a tree for the day's abiding. When he saw him, he went to King Kauravya and told him, Sire, the Maigasaira garden has been tidied up. The clansman Ratthapala is there, the son of the leading clan in this same Thulakotthita, of whom you have always spoken highly. He is seated at the root of a tree for the day's abiding. Then, good gamekeeper, enough of the pleasure garden for today. Now we shall go to pay respects to that master Ratthapala. 28. Then saying, Give away all the food that has been prepared there, King Kauravya had a number of state carriages prepared, and mounting one of them, accompanied by the other carriages, he drove out from Thulakotthita. With the full pomp of royalty to see the Venerable Ratthapala, he drove thus as far as the road was passable for carriages, and then he dismounted from his carriage and went forward on foot with a following of the most eminent officials to where the Venerable Ratthapala was. He exchanged greetings with the Venerable Ratthapala, and when this courteous and amiable talk was finished, he stood at one side and said, Here is an elephant rug. Let Master Ratthapala be seated on it. There is no need, great king. Sit down. I am sitting on my own mat. King Kauravya sat down on a seat made ready and said, 29. Master Ratthapala, there are four kinds of loss. Because they have undergone these four kinds of loss, some people here shave off their hair and beard, put on the ochre robe, and go forth from the household life into homelessness. What are the four? They are loss through aging, loss through sickness, loss of wealth, and loss of relatives. 30. And what is loss through aging? Here, Master Ratthapala, someone is old, aged, burdened with years, advanced in life. Come to the last stage. He considers thus, I am old, aged, burdened with years, advanced in life, come to the last stage. It is no longer easy for me to acquire new wealth or to augment wealth already acquired. Suppose I shave off my hair and beard, put on the ochre robe, and go forth from the household life into homelessness. Because he has undergone that loss through aging, he shaves off his hair and beard, puts on the ochre robe, and goes forth from the household life into homelessness. This is called loss through aging. But Master Ratthapala is now still young, a black-haired young man endowed with the blessing of youth, in the prime of life. Master Ratthapala has not undergone any loss through aging. What has he known, seen, or heard that he has gone forth from the household life into homelessness. 31. And what is loss through sickness? Here, Master Ratthapala, someone is afflicted, suffering, and gravely ill. He considers thus, I am afflicted, suffering, and gravely ill. It is no longer easy for me to acquire new wealth. Into homelessness. Because he has undergone that loss through sickness, he goes forth from the household life into homelessness. This is called loss through sickness. But Master Ratthapala now is free from illness and affliction. He possesses a good digestion that is neither too cool nor too warm, but medium. Master Ratthapala has not undergone any loss through sickness. What has he known, seen, or heard that he has gone forth from the household life into homelessness? 32. And what is loss of wealth? Here, Master Ratthapala, someone is rich, affluent, and wealthy. Gradually, his wealth dwindles away. He considers thus, formerly I was rich, affluent, and wealthy. Gradually, my wealth has dwindled away. It is no longer easy for me to acquire new wealth. Into homelessness. Because he has undergone that loss of wealth, he goes forth from the household life into homelessness. This is called loss of wealth. But Master Ratthapala is the son of the leading clan in this same Thulakottaita. Master Ratthapala has not undergone any loss of wealth. What has he known, seen, or heard that he has gone forth from the household life into homelessness? 33. And what is loss of relatives? Here, Master Ratthapala, someone has many friends and companions, kinsmen and relatives. Gradually, those relatives of his dwindle away. He considers thus, formerly I had many friends and companions, kinsmen and relatives. Gradually, those relatives of mine have dwindled away. It is no longer easy for me to acquire new wealth. Into homelessness. Because he has undergone that loss of relatives, he goes forth from the household life into homelessness. This is called loss of relatives. But Master Ratthapala has many friends and companions, kinsmen and relatives, in this same Thulakottaita. Master Ratthapala has not undergone any loss of relatives. What has he known, seen, or heard that he has gone forth from the household life into homelessness? 34. Master Ratthapala, these are the four kinds of loss. Because they have undergone these four kinds of loss, some people here shave off their hair and beard, put on the ochre robe, and go forth from the household life into homelessness. Master Ratthapala has not undergone any of these. What has he known, seen, or heard that he has gone forth from the household life into homelessness? 35. Great King, there are four summaries of the Dhamma that have been taught by the Blessed One who knows and sees, the Arahant, the perfectly enlightened one. Knowing and seeing and hearing them, I went forth from the household life into homelessness. What are the four? 36. 1. Life in any world is unstable. It is swept away. This is the first summary of the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One, who knows and sees, the Arahant, the perfectly enlightened one. Knowing and seeing and hearing this, I went forth from the household life into homelessness. 2. Life in any world has no shelter and no protector. This is the second summary of the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One who knows and sees. 3. Life in any world has nothing of its own. One has to leave all and pass on. This is the third summary of the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One who knows and sees. 4. Life in any world is incomplete, insatiate, the slave of craving. This is the fourth summary of the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One who knows and sees. 37. Great King, these are the four summaries of the Dhamma that have been taught by the Blessed One who knows and sees, the Arahant, the perfectly enlightened one. Knowing and seeing and hearing them, I went forth from the household life into homelessness. 38. Master Ratthapala said, Life in any world is unstable. It is swept away. How should the meaning of that statement be understood? What do you think, great king? When you were 20 or 25 years old, were you an expert rider of elephants, an expert horseman, an expert charioteer, an expert archer, an expert swordsman, strong in thighs and arms, sturdy, capable in battle? I certainly was, Master Ratthapala. Sometimes I wonder if I had supernormal power then. I do not see anyone who could equal me in strength. What do you think, great king? Are you now as strong in thighs and arms, as sturdy and as capable in battle? No, Master Ratthapala. Now I am old, aged, burdened with years, advanced in life, come to the last stage. My years have turned 80. Sometimes I mean to put my foot here and I put my foot somewhere else. Great king, it was on account of this that the Blessed One who knows and sees, the Arahant, the perfectly enlightened one, said, Life in any world is unstable. It is swept away. And when I knew, saw, and heard this, I went forth from the household life into homelessness. It is wonderful, Master Ratthapala. It is marvelous how well that has been expressed by the Blessed One who knows and sees, the Arahant, the perfectly enlightened one. Life in any world is unstable. It is swept away. It is indeed so. 39. Master Ratthapala, there exist in this court elephant troops and cavalry and chariot troops and infantry, which will serve to subdue any threats to us. Now Master Ratthapala said, Life in any world has no shelter and no protector. How should the meaning of that statement be understood? What do you think, great king? Do you have any chronic ailment? I have a chronic wind ailment, Master Ratthapala. Sometimes my friends and companions, kinsmen and relatives, stand around me, thinking, Now King Kauravya is about to die. Now King Kauravya is about to die. What do you think, great king? Can you command your friends and companions, your kinsmen and relatives? Come, my good friends and companions,